the line at Subway, because it's like, dude,
all right.
In here. Hey. Run it through the garden, just do it.
Welcome to Geeks of the Square Table, episode 133. I'm your host, Lawrence of America. And with me today is the one, the only,
the irredeemable Gomer. Is he recording properly?
It is.
You sound tentative with your voice.
Well, he's trying to a new NPR podcast.
It does. It sounds like NPR.
He's gonna put me to sleep.
And today on today's show we have
On Point now with Larry.
Ready and play. We have the former writer for the New York Times, now with the Wall Street Journal, coverage for overseas. He's going to be telling us about the tragedies he wrote about
in his memoir.
You've recently
Poops in
covered,
Afghanistan. I had to poop in Afghanistan. It's the worst thing ever. Don't drink the water in Afghanistan.
They don't have toilet paper. You're left-handed. They don't have toilet paper.
And I'm
they
left-handed.
Don't, and they don't have trees to use as
leaves. I use sand and rocks. I told someone, where's the toilet paper? He literally grabbed a handful of sand and handed it to me.
Well, at least he didn't throw it at you.
I bet our military men have toilet paper over there.
Yeah.
Right?
Only until
you were in the military.
Out.
What do you mean until they run out? You were on the boats. You're supposed to drop that stuff off.
That's not my job.
You had other people on the boat, though, whose job it was to get toilet paper to the boots on the ground. The asses on the ground, literally.
Okay. just so we can finish introductions.
Oh, sorry.
The toilet paper delivery man. Red shirt Steve.
I'm sure that wasn't
and
his
I'm
only,
Adam.
I'm sure that wasn't his only job.
That's a supply ship's job, not my ship's
but
job.
But your what was your ship? What type of class ship was it?
Which one?
Not cargo.
There was five of them.
Well, they were all ships that would kick some ass, right?
No.
Well, first what were
one,
they?
The first one was a repair ship.
Okay.
Two different destroyers.
Those are kick ass.
Yeah.
Well, it's your job to protect the toilet paper deliverers. Were you not doing your job? Is that why our boys are wiping their asses with sand? According to this NPR guy. This mythical guy we've made up.
Oh, do I get to finish my other one?
No, go ahead. I want to hear
a
the
A cruiser
one.
And a frigate.
Well, now, what does a cruiser actually do?
Air warfare.
Okay.
Air
like
warfare.
An aircraft carrier.
No.
Oh, it's
we protect the aircraft carrier.
Aircraft carrier acts as a runway.
A cruiser blows planes out of the sky.
Yes.
Okay.
And basically a destroyer is mostly for submarines. And a frigate used to be for mostly submarines.
And
shallow
water. Destroyers are air-to-air. Or
no,
sea
destroyers
to sea.
Are submarines. Anti-sub warfare.
Okay.
But now they have... missiles on them.
Yeah, because why do you need anti subs? The freaking Taliban ain't rolling with submarines, are they?
No, but the Koreans, the Chinese,
South Koreans, got
the Russians,
and they're working with submarines that are like Hunt for Red October era.
You done by the
right.
Koreans?
Yeah.
Or North Koreans, I should say?
Yeah. They're like putting bubble gum on the side of the damn thing.
They also get stuff from China.
Oh.
Big brother China.
I don't think China's giving them a good
no,
stuff.
No, not much. Well, they get them their older ones, but they're still pretty devastating if they don't screw them up. Well,
hey, dude, that's okay. It. They don't screw them up. Oh, what is this? Just yank the panel.
All it takes is
boom.
One.
Exactly.
Right, no, I mean one sub.
What's your favorite submarine movie?
When it comes
movie?
To a nuclear-powered sub, I
no,
think
they don't have those.
Well,
thank
okay.
God.
See, then when they got a diesel.
Armed sub.
Have you not seen Up Periscope?
I've seen Up Periscope. This is not a Kelsey Grammer comedy. I think that thing could do some damage.
No.
But I'm saying put it against our modern-day stuff. And no,
the
I,
thing
I don't,
about it,
I don't
The thing
think.
About it is a diesel submarine.
Yeah. Is that your favorite submarine?
No.
Because that's my next question.
No. Running
I
on batteries.
Yeah.
Can be... Very quiet. And if you have...
I think we got this.
Well, more than likely, yes.
I'm confident.
But there's that chance...
I'm confident.
...that it could do damage if they, per se, get a
nuclear-tipped torpedo. To what? To land in like a boat or something out there.
Well, it could be a boat.
Or
it
an
could
island.
Be a, it could be a
Hawaii?
Port.
Yeah.
Any of that.
It could
possible.
Be the sea floor off the Atlantic coast and would do massive damage
well,
to
just
our
hit a,
economy.
Just a hit of,
it's
yeah,
true.
Well, just hit one or two cargo ships.
It's odd that this has not happened.
Off the coast of Maine, half the seafood in America would be ruined.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
It would devastate that portion of the economy.
Now, you have to remember, we do have underwater listening devices and everything
like
that.
We got, like dolphins with freaking backpacks, dude. At least dolphins. We had whales. With lasers, man. They're out there protecting our shores.
But they're coming up with the drone submarines. Just like aircraft.
I like that idea.
So
I think that's cool.
You know, the aircraft or drone aircraft are weaponized. You don't think subs are going to come up next?
I love drones.
Next on NPR, we'd like to announce that Hillary won the election, even though the vote hasn't happened until next year. Until November. But
well, we'll see.
We'd like to announce that we've counted all the votes that matter. And
politics aside, though, I mean, there's Bernie is still in it, you know, per se, but all things are pointing towards, you know, Hillary Clinton being the prospective nominee.
She was already the prospective nominee.
I agree.
Politically
speaking, historically speaking, this is the first woman
presidential
nominee. Elected. That's awesome. That's really cool. Damn time.
Unfortunately, honestly, it's her. That's the only bad part.
I don't want to go political, but I tend to agree with you. I'm voting for Adam, I think.
You're voting for me?
I'm writing you in.
I'm not a Trump fan.
I don't think you're old enough.
But I'm just saying.
How old do you have to be?
I don't care. I've read Prez. You could be 12 and run.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's
it's political speaking. It is great. I mean, all to her.
Yeah.
I mean, she did it.
She did.
Was it Sarah Palin a nominee?
No, she's
the vice presidential. And that had happened previously. What was her name for Fiona?
Not Fiona. You're talking about
Fiera.
Carly.
You talking about the HP?
Not Carly Fiorina. No. Fiera.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Like, yeah, she went up to be
vice president.
She ran for president.
But she was a vice presidential nominee, I think,
she never got picked. As far as I know,
Sarah Palin ran under a third party.
Because third party is not going to matter.
Yeah, it is on a major ticket,
too. It's only hurt.
And we've only got, come on, let's not go there. Yeah. We've only got two parties, man.
There's been a lot of
third parties matter, but they only matter in detracting from the vote of somebody else.
Right, one of the two major parties. Yeah, not enough yet. Unfortunately,
I'm Ross Broke. Everything I said was right. Losers.
But actually,
that's a big fan.
You know, so
I wasn't even allowed to vote.
But now here's one thing.
Yeah.
To kind of get a little bit political.
After
this election, no matter who wins it, I think a third party is going to grow.
I think a third party's already
Historically speaking, whenever a third party becomes a major party, one of the other parties goes away.
Right. But it still takes one election for it to finally fall out.
And I think in the modern day,
we haven't had a three-party major ticket election, period.
No. Well, this might be the first time they're saying that there's definitely going to be one who will be on all 50 ballots.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not major.
No.
But we'll see. That's a big
deal,
though.
The Libertarian Party is who's going to be all on.
I think, I don't know.
It's the Libertarian.
Is it? The Green was working on getting on all of them, too. I don't know. They were working on it, but they didn't. I got enough politics to keep up with on who's president of the Marvel Universe.
Realistically,
who's president of the Marvel Universe?
No, he's not. He's dead.
They're going to flash back to that. They have to go back to that. To Rhodey being president.
Rhodey was never president.
He was the prospective nominee.
No, he was going to be the Secretary of Defense.
Oh, that's right. On a fast track.
On the fast track to the presidency. To being elected president.
Man, I learned something on the internet this week.
That's something.
Just one?
Just one thing.
Yeah. Just one thing. Wow.
Independence I thought that was just Day. Cat videos and
Resurgence
porn, right?
Or the original.
Well, going into both, the timeline in between. If you remember the president's military advisor, the one dude, hard ass, he's the president after.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, now, wait a minute. This is like, what, 15 years later? Or 20 years later?
No, he's not president now. In the resurgence, in between there. Okay. At one point, he was the president.
Oh, cool.
They're really doing really good things with this Insurgence, man. As far as the backstory and everything. I love it when a movie does that.
Yeah.
You know, it gives us like...
Ties it in really nice.
Builds the universe a little bit.
Sure.
Why does Insurgence do that? What do you mean?
They have a whole website with the timeline.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to check that one.
That's where I got this information.
But they mainly invented that website with the timeline to explain why Will Smith isn't in the movie.
Sure. He is in the movie?
No, he's not.
That's what I thought. Not even a cameo?
He died.
No. Well, no, I knew he died, but
he's
I thought
suicide.
He might
He was doing Suicide Squad. No cameo. Yeah.
No cameo?
I mean, there may be, like, him in a plane going, what's that smell? Because I know it's the only line they have.
Well, you know, I mean, Will Smith himself, this was a book, you know, his character was, could be replaced by another character.
Well, it's replaced by his son.
Sort of.
Know, yeah.
His stepson, isn't it?
Well, I think
it is like 20 years later, you know.
I don't know, Jeff Goldblum's still in it.
He's old.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Goldblum's old.
That video he was in about it was all really cool. Brent Spiner's back for this one, too.
Yep.
He was just in a coma in the last one. And then after they killed all the aliens, he came out of the coma.
Cool. That'll be nice. Good explanation.
Now he actually gets to act.
Well, they didn't kill all the aliens. Wow. Because they had some of them in cages.
Sure.
In there. And they get all, woo! When they learn that their homeboys are coming.
Now, did they explain on the website how Will Smith died? Or is that...
Yeah, he was in a plane crash.
That's
what I thought. It was a test pilot type thing.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, it's not really a spoiler. They've given it all pre. I'm excited to see that. That looks like a good movie.
And it comes out 4th of July weekend again?
It should. Okay. Why not?
I was going to see it on the big screen no matter what.
Yeah.
The previews could have been, Will Smith. I've already sold on the first one. I'm like, I loved the first one. I'm going to
see it. It was a great popcorn movie.
Yeah, it's one of the best popcorn movies.
One of the best political speeches or patriotic speeches ever in
movies. Oh, man, maybe the best. It's so good.
It is.
I mean, there might be some sports movies, but it's a different context.
Well, that's what I'm saying, patriotic. Yeah. World-building patriotic.
Oh, yeah, because it's all about the world coming together.
Yeah! Right. That's actually a really poignant part, because at one part they have the Iraqi army and the Israeli army working together. Right. Yeah, it was really cool. Right. Really fun, sort of. Throw in that first one. Way back when. You know, 20 years ago.
Yep.
We're old men.
Yeah, I was... Wait a minute. That was in 96. Yeah, I
have Big Willie Summers.
Yeah.
What's Big Willie Summers?
Will Smith had like 4 or 5 summer blockbusters in a row.
Did he?
Yeah.
I know he had that one.
He had Men in Black. I'd have to bring up IMDb to remember what they all were.
All of his movies.
Wild Wild West was really big.
All of his movies up until that M. Night Shyamalan movie he did with his kid were all number one.
Oh, you know, After Earth.
After Earth.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That was his first flop, technically.
Terrible movie.
That almost killed his career.
I didn't like I Am Legend either. You didn't like it, but it made money.
But it's one of those things. I Am Legend showed he cannot support a movie on his own for a lot of people.
Yeah,
Bad Boys. I really enjoyed it.
I was a big fan of Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2, the sequel.
Martin Lawrence and him worked
That's one of the few Michael Bay movies that I do like.
Is that a Michael Bay movie?
That is a Michael Bay movie. Bad Boys 2? That is Michael Bay in its pure form.
Is that the one where they have the barrels of gasoline just floating in the back of this truck for no reason?
Yeah.
That was supposed to be a bomb.
No, but why was it levitated on straps?
I don't think it was gasoline. I think the chemicals that the gasoline surrounded was unstable or some crap like that.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
It was a weird explanation.
Oh, well.
It doesn't matter. It was just an excuse to blow something.
No, that was in the first one. Jail was in the first one.
And who was in the second one? Somebody else?
It was Martin Lawrence's sister, and Will was dating her, and she was undercover FBI, CIA, or some stuff like that.
I don't remember that at all.
So,
I don't remember.
She
that
played
part
the hot chick.
Michael Bay story. Yeah, Michael Bay's got that in every one of his movies.
Well, yeah, of course you got to have a hot chick.
But, thanks, Michael Bay. Oh, what's his name? That Boyega kid from Star Wars. He's going to be in the new Pacific Rim
yes,
movie.
As the
Idris Elba's kid.
Name? Yeah, thank you.
Oh man,
that'd be cool.
I know Larry is not a fan of that movie just because it rains. I understand that. No, he does. And
oh, yeah. I mean, it makes sense. It does.
Rains
and it's dark the whole time.
It is. When you boil it down, it's because it rains.
It's because they cheaped out on the special effects.
And part of that...
It could be hail or snow, or it could be puppies falling from the sky. It doesn't matter. The rain is not the problem.
It didn't
the
splash.
Problem is...
What the rain represents.
That movie is a special effects... monster movie, yeah. And they cheaped out yeah. on the big money scenes.
I tend to yeah, agree with you. When you got but the, I still love boiling
when
it
you're
down.
You're trying
to
do 300 foot tall mechs. It's kind of hard.
Because I know
to...
you like, no, it's not the rain, Gomer.
It'd be like
man.
Watching a porn and then they blur out the money shot. Oh, it's just wrong.
You just had to go there.
What else you got here? You got the Will Smith list.
Yeah,
Ali, see. Of course, which he won.
Legend of Bagger Vance. Ali.
That was okay.
Yeah, Bad Boys. Bad Boys. Yeah. See, Bad Boys. Yeah, that came out right before Independence Day.
Yeah, Hancock was fun.
So that was the start of the summer movies, right there. Yeah. Independence Day, Men in Black, Wild West.
Enemy of the State was good too.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman was in
that. Yeah.
Like Gene Hackman.
But that wasn't a summer blockbuster, I don't think.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. I remember previews for that.
But, yeah, I mean.
All the previews were never coming out.
So, yeah, there was,
dude,
like,
Legend
almost...
of Bagger Vance. Man, is there a bad golf movie? Like, I've never seen a bad golf movie. Caddyshack's, like, one of my favorite
Caddyshack
movies.
Caddyshack 2.
Like, well,
it's good, too, yeah.
No, it's not.
It's not as good. But it was good.
But compared to the one, yeah, Caddyshack.
Well, Caddyshack's a classic.
Right, you can't
so
beat.
Good, so
you couldn't
good.
Beat Clint.
What's
Ken
the
Shep
golf movie with Shia LaBeouf in it?
Right.
Remember that? The Greatest Game.
Greatest Game.
Is that what it is?
And then you had the Bobby Jones with.
I don't know if I saw that.
So yeah,
with James Caviezel.
Hitch.
Caviezel.
I Am Legend.
Yeah. James Caviezel.
Yeah, he played in that. Yeah. That was a very good.
I don't think I saw
thing
that.
On Bobby Jones.
I'll have
yeah,
to see
that was a good one.
Yeah, Hitch and I Am Legend and Hancock were all non-top performers, even though I liked Hancock.
I like Hancock, but it was a different sort of superhero
yeah,
movie.
But, so they all kind of just tanked right there. Then he did After Earth after that.
After Earth totally just, tanked.
Yeah, so, and that's like his biggest, that was his last big movie, I mean.
What?
After Earth. I mean, he did a cameo in Anchorman 2.
As one of the, yeah, news people.
He's banking on that Suicide Squad, isn't he?
Well,
I think a lot of people
supposedly
are banking
they're
on
doing
Suicide
a Bad
Squad.
Boys 3 and 4.
They won't do a 4.
I don't know. If 3
comes
Mike out
Lowry.
Well,
yeah,
if 3 does well out, enough, they'll do a 4. But 3 has to
well, they
do
need
to,
they need
super
to have
well.
The 3, their chief. Can't remember his name because I like him in that. He played good for what Lily did. And then them two?
I'm going to have to go watch it again.
Really?
Okay, so I got
I think
17.
So. It's been a while since I've seen those, man.
I've seen it just
have to go
six,
check
less
it
than
out.
6 months ago.
Yeah.
I was playing.
Oh, yeah. I see what Larry's searching
Yeah, I was about
for.
To say, I don't know. I was wondering when the date on this. Yeah. Yoga Hosers.
Kevin Schmish film.
Yeah.
With his children.
Yoga Hosers.
Yeah. Buddy's children.
Yeah, it's Canadian Clerks, basically.
Yeah.
There's something weird with that movie, though.
There's something odd.
Yeah.
It's going to be like... I want to say that it needs to be pointed towards millennials.
Well,
but
like,
I don't know if Kevin Smith understands that.
Well, it's not going to be like Clerks where
like awesome.
Where like nothing happens the whole movie, but
yeah.
Like
they
just,
play hockey.
Like they play hockey, but like nothing happens the whole movie.
There's a funeral. What are you talking about? I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Yes, I agree with you. Nothing.
No, there was supposed to. There's like I heard that there was a weird plot point to it. That,
oh, really?
Yeah. That
yeah.
I
there's
don't
some
remember.
Like weird yeah. things going on in the preview that
oh,
I don't know.
I mean, I don't want to judge
some ancient evil
yeah.
presence.
There you go.
But I am.
Put it back together.
Yeah, I am like a Kevin Smith fanboy, so I will go see it.
Man, give me another Clerks movie proper, okay?
See, the Kevin Smith boat had already sailed by the time I.
When Clerks came out, dude, I was working at a convenience store.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I was the perfect age. I was right out of high school working in it. And it came out, what, 94?
Okay.
Clerks?
Something like that.
I graduated in 95.
Yeah,
94
to 96 is when
totally missed me.
Because it went around. It wasn't really a release sort of thing. It did. You're right. It went around.
Because it came out in theaters. Yeah. And then
very
like,
limited, though, release.
Right. And then you could get it at Blockbuster. Yeah, you could rent. And that's how a stolen copy of Clerks that somebody had stolen from Blockbuster and I stole from them.
That sounds like the right way to watch.
It sounds like an episode or like a plot that Kevin Smith would write into something like that.
That is what started.
But man, I really, really loved Clerks. I was into hockey. I actually was from
Red State,
Pennsylvania, Eastern Pennsylvania. So I knew like that New Jersey sort of people. I used to go to Jersey all the time. So it really, really hit home for me. And then Clerks 2 was just fun, man. It was just fun.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite Smith movies, man.
Red State, I think, is probably one of his best movies.
Sure.
I didn't like Red State.
Never seen Red State. As far as actual, the art of filmmaking.
Oh, sure.
I could see that, but
I like Dogma, too.
Dogma was fun. It was great.
He tells a lot of good stuff and he is able to communicate
Jersey
very
Girl,
important, socially relevant
when he
aspects
does do
of
something
religion.
Outside of it.
As being a Catholic, I really enjoyed Dogma.
I grew up kind of Catholic.
Oh, yeah. Kind of?
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works.
I was Lutheran, and then I was bad, so I went to Catholic school.
Oh,
so kind of.
Okay.
Then I came down here and went to Baptist school, and it literally my head spun around. I didn't know what was going on.
So there is an off chance that Kevin Smith will hear this. Because Jules went to his talk in Nashville.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And randomly got sat next to him.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be cool. So,
who?
Jules and Elaine.
I talk to that dude like 3 or 4 times a week.
And he doesn't tell you anything.
I hadn't heard nothing about
it. It wasn't important to you.
Did he say something and say, hey?
But that's like everyday life.
And more
Jules.
Importantly, let us be on your podcast.
Jules is above us, I guess.
Well, that's fun.
You know, I may not particularly care for your movies, but, you know, I'll kiss some ass. I don't know.
I enjoy some of his... You enjoy some parts of some of his
movies. Yeah, I enjoy some parts of some of his movies.
There you go.
I think Dogma was funny. And I enjoy Tusk for what it was.
Did I ever tell you my Tusk story? I had no idea what this movie was going into it. My wife, I was just like, hey, this is a Kevin Smith movie. Let's watch it when it's over. And we started at like 11 o'clock. It was already late. It's like 12:30. The movie's over. And I'm like, all right, we got to watch something else. I can't go to sleep after watching that. So we had to put Wreck-It Ralph on for an hour, dude. Seriously. I was like, dude, there's no way.
Need a palate cleanser.
Yeah. And she's like, man, that was good, but I don't really ever want to watch it ever again.
I was watching it with my friend, and we got to the part where he got into the Warwick costume. They were fighting in the both in the Warwick costumes.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend came in right during that part, and she was like, "What the fuck are you guys watching?"
That's awesome.
And it's just like there's nothing you can say to explain that. It's just like
I have to hit rewind.
Trust me, you're better off
not. You don't want to know.
I'm a lot more careful about trying stuff like Human Centipede. Like I can't go near that, and I'll have a terrible time.
Me and Amanda went and saw that in theater. It's a Kevin Smith movie. I gotta go see
it.
It's
gonna be funny.
It was funny, but not for the right reason.
Like halfway through, this is like really.
Yeah, it's messed up.
And I left him going, man, you know,
I paid this.
They must have been blazed writing this movie.
Well, you said they sort of had the genesis of it during a podcast.
Right, during the Smodcast, which they're notoriously possibly inebriated.
Sure.
And that's the way I described it. This is the movie you would write if you were all inebriated and came up and wrote an idea, except for this group of people had the money to make it happen and the connections.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a whole lot of good about Human Centipede. So
yeah, I don't even want to. I don't like thinking about it. But yeah, those movies, it's okay. Tusk's okay, but those kind of movies I tend to stay away from.
Sure.
Even like the Clockwork Orange, I don't.
I like Clockwork Orange.
There's a home invasion scene in that movie that really bothers the hell out of me for some reason. It just
The first 20 minutes of that movie is hard to get through.
But I must have been really trashed the first time I watched it, because that's like all I focused on, and my brain just would not leave that. But
that movie is pretty brutal.
Yeah, it really got me.
It was a brutal movie.
Well, sure. But yeah, that's weird. I know it's weird because it is. It's one of the greatest movies ever, but I can't watch it. I had a problem with The Wall when he shaves his chest and he just takes the nipples along with it.
Wow,
I had terrible nightmares for that.
That always makes me do this.
Well, terrible nightmares for weeks after seeing that. Dude, it really got to me. Yeah, I know. It's weird. I know.
Oh, no. I totally see that.
It doesn't really happen anymore. You know, maybe I'm desensitized.
Oh, you don't shave your nipples off anymore?
No, I don't. And it really wasn't that. It would just be me having a dream of seeing, of like watching that scene. And it was just intense in the dream. And the director and producer that is my brain really loves screwing with the audience that, oddly enough, is also my brain.
I saw and... a buddy of mine was a real big fan of Saw. Saw 2 came out, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I want to go see it in the theater. And I'm like, I don't know. It's okay. It's like, man, I'll pay for you to go. Okay, I'm down.
Sure.
Yeah. Well,
whatever. I'll go see whatever. It's free.
So I'll go see it, and there's a scene in it where they jump into
Is it the pit of needles?
Yes. Oh, she gets nosed. And I almost...
That got me too, man.
I did the classic, classic girl in a scary movie.
Didn't see him.
That's awesome. Yes, dude, that got to me too. Not as bad as other
stuff. She sticks the hand out and they're all hanging out.
No, stop. Yeah, that's terrible. That's really probably the worst thing they do in all of those. There's some where they have to dig like stuff out of their own bodies, but that's probably the worst, man.
Yeah, I mean, like that. Yeah, worse than like the seeing them stab their own eyes.
They're not new wrapped hypodermic needles, so you can only assume that if someone unwrapped them, that at some point they were used.
Yeah.
So I don't like that either. Shaving off nipples, diving in pits and needles.
Nope.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah. To me, that's just horror porn,
and it is.
I mean, The Wall, I like.
Oh, sure, I love it too.
I couldn't get into.
Well,
that
it is
movie.
Horror porn, well, but it, yeah, it admits to itself that it is.
No, I know that, but I mean, I just couldn't get. I mean, I watched the first one, and it was like,
It was a bit more cerebral because the end was great.
Right.
You can't copy that M. Night Shyamalan kind of ending.
But then they tried to do it six more times.
Well, they never went for the ending.
No, every ending was a plot twist ending.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the Saw thing.
The endings of those movies really aren't
so
why you
the
watch
first
those,
one, so. But yeah, no. The first one, okay, makes sense. And the second one, it was still viable.
Was that hidden in the safe? In the safe?
Yeah, that was
the
second
one. That was good.
Okay, like the one survivor is helping.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, and then like the third one, he's back from the dead, and
he dies in the third.
That's the brain surgery one.
Yeah, that's the brain surgery.
But. Well, that's hard enough because they actually do brain surgery on him, and I could just imagine. I don't like getting to the dentist. You imagine somebody taking a drill on the back of your head. That was pretty wild.
So,
what do y'all think about those Final Destination movies?
Oh, I love those movies.
I like them too.
They're
cool.
They're horrible movies.
They tease you the whole time.
I know they're horrible
one and
movies.
Two, then they went kind of bad continuing on those characters, and then they got good again with like four or something. Yeah.
Well, I just love watching how they die because it's always inventive.
They are inventive and weird, but it's like they take you down like this path. It's like the incredible machine of murder.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
right.
I made the water
like
go
the,
off.
Like the it's like Ruth one of those Ginsburg old machine of murder.
That's exactly what it is.
I really like that. That's very fun. Who writes that shit? I want to send that dude an email and say, hey, thanks, dude. You're really cool.
So, have y'all been watching Preacher?
No, I'm going to catch that on the Netflix. It's hard for me.
They're saying it's totally different than the comic. I haven't watched the comics or read the comic, but I did watch the first.
That's par for the course for AMC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right. So if you're a diehard fan of the comic, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
Period. So you got to keep them separate. I was really impressed with the pilot.
I heard it was good.
Oh, yeah, I've been hearing nothing but amazing from it. I'm just going to wait till it's on Netflix because I can't watch stuff.
The AM,
I got kids.
I've been happy with the second episode so far. One thing that bugged me is, they're doing the entire run of Preacher in between the first half and the second half of Fear the Walking Dead. Walking Dead this season is on like a 2 month or 3 month break.
It's having a mid season break, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
For 3 months.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
that's
long.
But so break. Now the way they've got it now, it'll essentially go from Preacher ends, Fear the Walking Dead, then Walking Dead, then after that it'll go back to Fear the Walking Dead.
How long is Fear of the Walking Dead this year? First time it was like 6 episodes.
I think it's going to be 16? 8 in the second half or something.
Okay, so it's like 16 overall.
Yeah. Something, I think. Okay. And then I think next year another one.
But right, so it's going to be, if Preacher gets on, they're going to go Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, Preacher, Walking Dead, and they'll have something for that time slot year round. Which I'm sure that's exactly what they want.
Sure. And the time slot after, because they're going to watch the after. Well,
And then they have the talking, whatever. Well,
Fear the Talking Dead.
Didn't Chris Hardwick get a Preacher?
Yeah, there's Talking Preacher or something.
Talking Preacher. Preaching on Preacher.
Chris Hardwick. Doing all those talk shows.
I told you I heard him on a radio show.
Hey, man.
And he didn't work for, or whenever.
If you have a job, you do that job.
He's doing stand-up. Yeah. He's got that website.
When you're hot, you're hot.
He's got a few of the commercials, or at least one commercial out. With Xfinity.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah.
So I do not fault him. I'm not a particularly big fan of his, but I do not fault him.
I like him on two Talking Dead shows myself.
I just don't watch those shows anymore. It's getting to be so difficult to watch television.
Well, it's because there's so many. Well, for some people, so many good shows.
There
or so
are
many
so
bad
many
shows.
Good shows. We're in a golden age of TV, I think, man. We're getting a
lot
of good
shows.
We're
in a golden age of just content in general.
Right. Well, that's it. We're at an age where
it's really
easy. It's gotten to the point where you can create your own content and come out with decent stuff.
Look at us. I mean, I wouldn't say this is decent or well written, but I mean, we're making content.
Exactly.
I'd say it's well written.
I was going to say, we don't write it.
Than some stuff,
Yeah.
But
still, man.
Well, I mean, plus you got so many different ways to watch. You watch on your cell phone.
That's a good
computer.
Point. It's not like
TV.
It was in the '80s where, hey, you missed it.
Yeah,
sorry.
Hope there's a rerun sometime,
and you better find it and be home at that like a dumbass.
Make an appointment.
If you had a VCR,
you better set your VCR to record.
You are okay.
If what?
If you had a
VCR,
whatever.
Sure,
yeah, if you saw every episode of Family Matters in the '90s, you didn't have a life,
man.
Because that meant you were home every Friday night.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was that the Urkel?
Yep.
Was that the Urkel?
Was that the Urkel?
Yeah.
was that the cop from Die Hard?
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, if you were really in Star Trek,
that cop from Die Hard had a really nice family.
Wednesdays or something?
What an asshole John McClane was to put him through that.
Yeah, so if you were really into a show,
you had to be there.
Yeah, you had to plan that night.
That's like football back then.
Or have a VCR.
Track.
Or you go to the bar and watch a game. You can stop any damn place and watch a game.
Well, but you can't. But now,
back
you
in
can,
the day,
right? But now you can watch it
on your phone while you're driving.
Yep.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't.
People
you
do
should,
it.
Of course. You shouldn't, but you can.
Well, I mean, come on, they got the TV screens right there in the front.
Dude,
of your
I got one of those things you wear, like a headset, and you put your phone in it, and it's like you're in a movie theater.
Yeah,
it's perfect for the car.
Did you get
perfect?
A Galaxy 7
perfect while you're driving.
I just do like one eye.
Well, pretty soon you'll be wearing that anyways while you're driving your car, because it'll show you.
It'll show me my car. Or my, no,
well, the car will be driving itself.
That's what I'm hoping for. Then I can catch up on all this TV I'm missing during my commute.
All the
or your
TV
sleep
and comics
from watching all the TV.
Don't have time.
Yeah, no. What's going to happen if... If my car, if I get to the point where cars have a self-drive car,
yeah,
one day I'll have the most horrible wake-up call when some drunk asshole hits that self, because I'll be asleep on the way to work. What the fuck?
Well, you don't think so they're going to make it mandatory for everybody to have the car?
I think
not all at once.
Well, no, never all at once.
No, the thing about it is we won't own cars. Why would you own a car when you're just getting into a trade? The car will just come by your house because you ordered it on your damn phone.
No.
It'll be like Uber.
It'll take longer for that to happen than mass transit will get picked up.
Well, I mean, once you have self-drive cars, yeah, you
already
have the technology.
We
have the technology now that you could do, yes, you could do Uber. You could Uber a self-drive car.
Ford has already jumped on board with Google and other companies to try to push.
Well, I know Chevy or Honda or somebody bought into Uber or Lyft or one of the
It's all coming around to where the car companies themselves are just going to build cars off the line and they will go.
Yeah, but it's going to take...
No.
It'll take
10 years, dude.
What I'm saying
we,
is...
We are Americans. We are obsessed with our cars.
Well, we're obsessed with our individuality.
Oh.
We don't
right.
realize.
I don't think people will ever completely give up anything. There's still people who collect stamps, coins, and
shit. Well, that's...
There'll be people who still have
There's still people who collect comic books.
No. They won't give up that... The freedom, even though... You might be able to program the car to go wherever you want. It's still not... The feel of them going.
I think you underestimate millennials.
Millennials, yeah, but you still.
That's 10 years!
No.
Yes, it is!
But I'm talking about.
Millennials go to college in the next 5 years, dude.
Sure, but it's
they're
going
to get to
longer.
The point where you have to. When self drive cars become more and more. It's going to be. To own a regular car, a non self driving car would be more expensive.
Exactly.
True, but I think people
are
going to.
No, people are still going to want it. Our generation, they're still going to want it.
Exactly.
Sure.
And you're going to have to fight them.
But you don't have to have both.
They'll
have lanes.
No, there's not enough room. There's not enough room on the interstates now.
Well,
have you ever been in traffic?
First off, we have a problem with
cars.
We have a problem with the infrastructure that we currently have.
But it won't be
so
less
they're not
cars
build.
You're going to have more people.
Well, you're always having more people.
Not enough infrastructure.
But all of these people are going different places in a four-seater car. They're all going to be driving to the same place to share that bill. It's happening now with Uber.
In certain
what's going to happen in nicer neighborhoods, quote unquote, by nicer I mean higher income neighborhoods, they will ban self drive cars on public.
That'll be after I'm probably
there are
dead.
Places right now that have cars period banned.
Not in the United States that
no,
I know
in some,
of.
No, in some cities, they do ban cars. They ban cars from some streets in Nashville from time to time.
Well, yeah, that's from time to time.
Now, there are whole cities where people only drive around on golf carts.
Yeah, but they don't have anything permanent downtown. In some cities, they do have permanent roads that are now closed off because they'd rather have the low speed and foot traffic. Well, I think that's what he's talking about.
Well, yeah,
so, and that's...
Niche areas?
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about the villages down in Florida is where they do the golf cart thing and all that.
Villages, there's also places in Texas like that that aren't even vacation hubs. They're just villages that don't want
villages are not
outsiders. The only way they allow cars is on the highway. Drive on by.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's
but
that's
still
besides
a niche.
The point.
It's still a niche,
and that's beside the point of the self-driving cars and us moving.
Oh,
eventually, that's where it's
going.
We can disagree on the time frame of it, and I think you're right. There are going to be people who fight it because they want to drive their own car. But
this will
follow
more,
right?
Along.
You know what
I mean?
They're going to it'll die off. Everything will. It'll change. But the problem with that...
The problem, the rate of change will increase exponentially
And under Moore's law.
But, yeah. Right. But the rebellion is human nature, and you're going to have more people figuring out.
By the time by the time you realize that you're giving up too much stuff, it is too late.
Yeah, and
not for a rebellion.
Well, like the first thing that'll happen is, and we're not talking about overthrowing the country.
No, I'm not talking about nothing like that.
What we're saying is that at some point they will say, okay, this lane is only for self-driving cars, and then it'll be nope, these two lanes are for self-driving.
I can agree with you.
And then they'll say nope, no self-driving cars on the interstate at all.
I can agree with you to an extent, except in most cities that used to have HOV lanes.
Yeah.
They took them out.
No, not most.
Because, no.
In some.
No. And a lot more of them than some. I think more dropped them than kept them. Simply because people weren't using them.
Well, the thing about
it
is,
didn't help with traffic or anything.
The thing about HOV lanes is, if you have them on your interstates in your state, you get federal money. But the federal money isn't given. You don't have to police them. So they have HOV lanes, but they don't police
them. Some of them.
I've never gotten an HOV ticket. I was behind a Metro cop today in the HOV lane.
Right. But what I'm saying is it didn't alleviate the problem HOV lanes were supposed to do, is what I'm getting at.
Well, but when you have
self-drive cars, they will have a lane. Eventually, there will be more and more common double-decker roads.
I could agree with that.
We are going to see double-decker roads, maybe not completely double-decker, but we will have these expressways for self-drive cars.
Sure. Well, in Texas and Houston, they have the elevated express. Yeah,
it's
badass.
Because they need to.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah. It's going to happen. It's just going to. It's going to take longer than most people are.
In DFW, there's this one mixmaster with like eight highways hit, and like each one goes over the other. Independent, if you're on the right,
that rush,
the right side,
like
you're driving on like 10 stories up in the air. Going around this corner, it's crazy.
Oh yeah, but yeah, the infrastructure.
If you just look it over, you're like.
This car stops during rush hour.
That's the biggest problem with not self-driving cars so much is going to be the infrastructure issue.
But I think our infrastructure
here's how it happens. As pollution becomes more and more prevalent of an issue, people will require stronger and stronger EPA requirements.
Yeah.
And to meet those requirements, you'll have to have newer and newer cars, or have antique cars that you're not allowed to drive on certain roads. And so they will phase in cars and deliberately force us to phase out older model cars.
I just want to congratulate the podcast from successfully going from talking about Preacher to EPA requirements.
Well, that's a geeky thing to do.
I loved it.
You're right on that. They will try to force it all out because of they're going to use the EPA to do it.
Sure.
The problem with a lot of people are forgetting.
You're saying try to force it out. Buy some leaded gasoline.
Yeah, they can try.
Actually,
they will do it.
Not necessarily
will they do it. They will attempt to do it.
Well, you say that.
No.
Go ahead.
Because here's one problem. Guys, right now, the electric cars and hybrid cars are not paying nowhere near the gas tax, right?
Yes.
Okay. Where's the money for transportation going to come from? Now.
Sure.
Okay. You're going to have that issue also. They're already thinking, some states are already thinking on electric cars or hybrids. Charge them extra.
To cover the gas tax.
Because the government used to give you a tax incentive to buy a hybrid or an electric car.
They still do.
Not as much as it used to be, though.
No, it's not.
And they are going to phase it out over time completely. If we get, depending on who's in office. But it will be phased out.
Sure.
Because you're going to hit a tipping point with electric cars, because that's what a lot of self-driving cars are going to end up being, or hybrids or something like that.
Maybe. Right. But still, the infrastructure on the roads, that's a legitimate issue. Where's that extra tax money? If you're thinking, if we start using less gallons of gas... But the thing is, when have you known a political body not to raise taxes to compensate?
Yeah, man.
Well, I mean, think about it. They are in Nashville since they raised the gas tax.
Yeah, and so, they're still building roads. It's all good.
Well,
actually,
I got to work in 45 minutes today. That's good.
Yeah, but okay.
Tennessee as a whole has really good roads.
Yeah. Go to Pennsylvania.
No.
Go to Arkansas. Go to Alabama. Go to any state around us. Tennessee has some really good roads. Certain areas
are better than other states.
Right, that's what we're saying.
But it's a national thing.
No, it's not. Those states get to choose
part of the reason we haven't raised our gas tax is because we have been given government money not to do so.
Exactly.
Sure, everybody has.
Exactly.
Right.
But they still want to raise it.
The government is paying those taxes now. Paying the taxes that we wanted to raise. But to keep the citizens from freaking out because from paying $10 a gallon gas.
Yeah.
Which is what they want. Yeah. That's eventually gas will be $10-$20 a gallon, and that will force people out. It'll be a combination of taxes, high gas prices, and
you mean artificially high gas prices, but okay.
Well, I mean,
it doesn't matter why
it happens.
They aren't artificial. You may be artificially inflated, but high gas prices are high gas prices.
It doesn't matter why.
They're really charging you that amount on the sign. Yeah. That's not an artificial.
If you get technical in that sense,
all markets are manipulated, man.
Well, yeah, right. But it doesn't.
So they'll manipulate the market so that you're naturally
not solve the political theory of capitalism here. But that's what you're getting into.
This has nothing to do with
capitalism.
Those
are going to be the different tactics that are used to dissuade the public off the traditional gasoline engine.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
The reason why hybrids are a thing versus pure electric drives is because they still break down.
Yeah.
Electric motors don't break down as fast. That's why the automotive industry is hesitant on it. That's why they're trying to push fuel sales.
Sure, but people also don't like electric
cars. And they're still combustion engines.
A lot of people don't like electric cars because, yes, they are great for relatively short trips.
Yeah.
We all agree on that.
Yeah, 400 to 500 miles.
You're screwed. And until an electric car or
200.
Whatever, no.
You can get 200 miles.
If you're lucky.
No.
On
average.
The newest Tesla Roadster gets 300.
Oh, 300 miles. How long does it take to recharge?
A night.
Okay, 8 hours, right?
Less than 8 hours. I think it's 4 hours.
Or 4 hours. I go from
completely dead to completely charged.
From here to Parkland Way to Wisconsin.
All right,
but I've got to wait.
Now, okay, that is all right. Let me say
daily commuting.
But what I'm getting at is, if when they get an electric car that can go
now, that is 300 miles, provided that you do not stop. Because whenever you stop, regenerative braking recharges.
Sure, but you're still not going to charge enough during that time frame to get me from here to Wisconsin.
That's not what.
What I'm saying is
95% of automobiles on a daily basis go 60 miles.
Right, but people.
That's what we're talking about.
I agree with you. Okay. But what I'm saying is not enough people at this time. In time, they will. I am hoping, and I would love for them to have an electric car that will do at least a full 12-hour run.
No, why?
Because
the market is 5% a day. Why would they give a damn?
Yeah, that's
why
there's
a lot more travel going on by car.
There is 5%, 95% of daily traffic.
Maybe if they were making an electric semi, that would be an issue.
Yeah, but that's not.
Well, that's why they have the technology to do it. They just don't want to add the weight.
Yeah.
In the case for like a delivery vehicle, they could easily do that.
But the roads can't handle the weight.
The weight isn't the issue on the roads. It's the issue on the speed of the car.
Yeah, the engine. The weight of the trailer.
The acceleration.
The truck would be too heavy, it won't go fast.
A diesel is going to have a slow acceleration anyway.
But the reason to move off of...
There's great reasons to move off.
Yeah, there are great, environmental and economic and even, political reasons to move towards that.
Agreed.
But what you're saying is
the only reason the
human element.
No,
I'm saying your generation gives a damn about that. Maybe parts of mine do. But millennials don't.
No,
my kid's 15. I was like, dude, you want to get your license? Like, nah, I'm not really worried about it. They don't care.
Dude,
no.
I live with a guy who is 25, yeah. And he hasn't gotten his license yet. He just doesn't care. Yeah, he just lives off of Uber and, you know, friends.
Yeah. That's the future. And that's how I think everything is going to go. Yeah.
Agreed. For certain areas and certain places, it is a great thing.
If you're going inner city, then it's awesome.
I agree.
Well, that's where most people are going.
Sure. But in time, it'll go back to where. All right.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you had inner city or city life. Everybody fled to the suburbs, right? Now we're going. A lot of people are moving back into the cities.
Well, it's ebb and flow. That's the way things work.
Exactly. So
yeah,
that's why I'm saying I hope they do build an electric car that will get 600 miles or more. Because people, you're going to have even the
$25 from Hendersonville to downtown
to do what?
To do anything?
Yeah. No.
To
I mean,
drive downtown in an Uber car, it's $25.
Okay, that's cheap as shit.
I know.
Okay.
Well, I'm not understanding what you mean. Hendersonville is pretty far out there.
Agreed.
I could
do it in a taxi.
It's more than that.
Exactly.
I don't understand where you're going with it, though.
If people have an electric car,
okay,
and it does 600 miles, all right,
okay,
you have to realize everybody's going to, or a lot of cities are trying to go to mass transit. We're even talking about trying to build a mass transit train here.
Sure. And all that. Sure.
Everybody says, well, flying is cheaper and all that. But what happened? Hang on a minute. What happens with flying? The infrastructures aren't going to handle the airports because you've only got so much land to build new airports in.
I'm still not sure I get what the overall.
Once you hit a tipping point for the airlines that they can't handle the traffic.
Yeah,
people are going to start driving even more.
That's going to be regulated by natural economy supply and demand, and the price is going to increase.
No. You're going to hit a tipping point on infrastructure. When the
airports get overloaded, yes, airlines will charge more, and people will drive because it's cheaper.
Here's the thing:
people stop flying. Prices will come down.
You're not flying to Russia. You're not flying to Europe.
Yeah, people are still flying.
You're not driving to Europe. I'm just saying. I'm not sure what you would. I don't get where this is going. Yeah, I'm not sure what you mean by infrastructure changes.
An airport can only get so big.
But I don't know why we were moved on to flying from
because
cars.
Y'all keep thinking that a lot of people are going to give up cars, and they will for a time.
But we're not talking about giving up cars, period. We're talking about transitioning from one car to a different car.
The predominant passenger car will end up being an electric
hybrid. And I don't think we're talking that either. I think what I'm saying is that everything will be mass transit. We will pay for an Uber car that will drive itself to wherever we're going.
I think that's a far stretch.
Eventually, I can easily see a very, very... No. Look at B-side
10
years.
50,
maybe.
I see in 10 years everybody
you know
having
how
an electric
fast?
Car, but the mass transit idea...
No, stop.
10 years.
Once self-driving cars become legal nationwide...
How long do you think that will take?
That might take 10 years.
As soon as that happens,
there will be someone out there.
Uber's already ready to do
that
it.
That does it like B-Cycle or, you know, B-Cycle does now.
Yeah.
You can just go and swipe your card, you sign up online, go into a parking lot. It'll happen. The technology's there. It will happen. Yeah.
It won't even
as
be
as soon
that.
As.
But I don't think it may even wait
until it's legal nationwide. Yeah. As soon as a state has it legal, there will be a self-driving car that you can drive all the way around the Metroplex.
And I'm not denying that, but I don't think everybody will have that.
Not everybody takes the bus either.
I know.
But most metro bus companies lose money. Well, sure they do. Sure they do.
That is not mass transit, if you ask me.
No, that's self-driving car.
No, renting a self-driving taxi.
I think it's the equivalent of
privately run mass transit.
Now,
I go into the bus, I drop my quarter in, I go sit down.
It's not going
to
be a bus.
I open it up.
The government is actually going to be the last one to switch to a self-driving mass transit system because of regulations.
Still using floppies.
I mean, there's all. Even the small when it's self, you're going to have a self-driving. when the government has a self-driving bus, there's still going to be a driver there going.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do now on the trains. They do it now on the trains.
Even on a self-driving car, you're going to have to be held responsible for anything that happens.
Well, that's why it will go to mass transit, because then I'm not responsible.
But somebody will. It will take.
Then I'm not responsible.
Right. I can agree with that.
That's what I mean. It takes me out of the equation altogether. And I am the reason there are car wrecks and high insurance rates.
But there will still be a driver initially.
Yeah.
I think quite a few years.
I don't think so.
I do because of the insurance issue. Who's going to be held accountable?
Yeah.
For any accidents or such of that nature.
See, I don't think it'll be like that. I think once the self-driving car is out there, there'll be no turnaround. It'll be like the iPhone.
Oh, I'm not saying it'll turn
iPhone didn't do anything, though.
It's what a whole mean? Different social
The iPhone
situation.
Changed everything. The dawn of the smartphone changed everything.
But you're not but talking about driving.
Yeah, that wasn't the iPhone.
The iPhone just sold it.
Yeah. No, well, that's what I mean. I don't know.
The iPhone just prettied it up. Yeah. The iPod wasn't the advent of the MP3 player. It just prettied it up and sold the idea.
Sure, but yeah. I mean, the self-driving car is different as far as, you know, the things that it has to overcome in order to get to its success point where it can be that point.
So you're saying once the iCar comes out, everybody will automatically switch to mass transit, except for me, who I'll be using the Google car, I guess.
Well, so you're saying it's going to take somebody to make it cool. That's essentially what the iPhone basically came out with, a hipster phone. Yeah, that's essentially what
make it
is.
Cool.
Is it they not, made it cool.
Is it not cool to sit there while the car does the work?
But, no,
sit
well,
in
I'm
a moving room?
But
that's what
you're
doing
using
now.
Your phone analogy,
yeah.
I mean, there were far superior phones from day one.
Yeah,
there were already phones that did everything it did. They just marketed it better.
I'm just using the idea of the smartphone. The smartphone did change the game.
Somebody will take that.
The smartphone changed the game. The iPhone didn't.
Well, it made the smartphone cool. Yes. I think the idea.
That made it a public thing, but it'll already be there, and then somebody will make it cool.
Sure. But I think once the smart car is allowed to be a thing, then the car companies immediately get on board.
As long as it breaks down every 2 years and they can sell you a new one,
it doesn't matter.
I still think it's going to be an insurance.
I think if they change, I think at that point, Ford, Chevy, these sort of companies change their entire platform.
Well, they're going to have to change their business.
They
model.
Become self-driving car makers who.
Well, they're gonna
in the mass transit business.
Well, they're gonna have to get into the actual day to day business of
those sorts of companies, and they're already doing that.
Cars,
yeah.
We will still affluent people,
yeah. We'll still want better.
We'll still want their cars.
Sure,
we will still be sold our own.
I can buy my own bus.
Car.
I can buy a train.
Want that.
You know,
we will not want to shit because
I
as much as we all want that's
the main reason why
we all want our own.
Yeah, that's the main reason why I don't see Gallmer's mass transit idea really gelling because we all want our own stuff.
There will be those available. And as I said before, my millennials don't want a car. They don't care. I'm just saying.
They don't want a car
now. I don't
think
they have the perspective.
Your millennials don't want a car until they become a 21-year-old, 30-year-old.
Maybe.
Until they need a car.
And we'll see. Statistics show that when you live in the city, or as at least as you live to the city, you don't need a car.
No, you need it.
Around here, around
Hendersonville, you need a car.
Yeah, if you live in Hendersonville, you need a car. If you live in downtown Nashville, you probably don't.
It's been okay. They've been okay so far.
That's because I've had you to drive them around.
No, I don't drive them around.
You've been there.
Yeah, they're 15.
You cannot. He has older friends, and they use those carrier services, those pickup services. I'm just saying, they have. They do.
Yeah, but they're using those pickup services to go, you know, 10 miles down the road.
Well, they use it to go to a hockey game.
Yeah,
once.
Right.
And
you cannot reliably function without a mass transit system. Use of a mass transit system. Uber does not qualify as mass transit.
I think an economic
mass transit or a vehicle.
Not economic. I never said it was economic. I mean, it's sort of like mass transit, where I go in, swipe my card, and it takes me to a place.
If the United States were more like a lot of foreign nations with their subway systems, sort of like New York, if more cities were like New York or foreign, like Thailand, or not Thailand, but Singapore.
Sure, sure.
London.
Uh-huh.
To an extent, Italy. With their train
system. Well, Italy's a country,
we
but
have
sure.
too much bureaucracy in our government system for the subway. Fast sweeping change.
Not even that.
That has happened in other countries.
It's not even that.
Yeah.
It's like this way right here. Up in Kansas City, when I was living there, I don't know if they've ever pre-approved the plan or anything. They were talking about putting in a rail line from downtown Kansas City up to a
monorail
above the North Kansas City.
Whatever the Simpsons monorail.
Except the transit line was not going to go to the airport and the new shopping centers and all this.
Yeah.
They were going to the more lower class neighborhood area. Now that sounds great for lower class people, don't get me wrong.
Lower class people are the ones who don't have cars.
Hang on a minute. No, like I said, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
But people from
phrase lower income.
Whatever.
Realistically,
politically correct is a little politically correct is a little bit too much.
I'm with you.
Lower class has nothing to do with how much money you make.
I'm with you, Steve-O.
Lower income people.
I'm with you, dude.
All right, you're going to take lower income people
on
this mass transit system to the entertainment system of downtown Kansas City.
Yeah.
If they're lower income people, how do they have the money to go to the entertainment district that costs $15 to get into a bar?
No. They're not going to shop.
They're going to work.
Rich people are bringing them in to serve them.
To work. Yeah.
Okay. But at the same
time. And that's okay.
Sure.
But you're saying they didn't go to any other neighborhood with the train.
Why would you not take mass transit to the new shopping district?
Well,
and to the airport.
They might not have the money to do it. See, one of the biggest problems with the United States mass transit system is most of our cities are very sprawling cities.
Yeah, that's true.
We have a lot of sprawl, like Houston. A mass transit system will never work in Houston. Because it's so big.
It would take an hour of transfer.
It is big, but it's a very dense city as far as population compared to a place like Nashville.
If you
there's like three downtown areas in Houston.
You know what?
Well, look at...
I hear comics came out this week, for crying out loud.
I don't mind. Talking about
we can jump on comics. I'm ready for that one.
But over in Europe, they have national funds for these big, huge trains, and then the cities can say, just like the highway system, we can bridge off of the highway system with our own trains.
Well, the thing with Europe is most of those cities aren't as sprawling as our cities because they're just not as big. Like the countries aren't as big.
And they actually planned it. They actually planned a mass
transit. And they
planned
it.
Yeah.
I mean, Japan's system is awesome. I mean, they got the bullet train. Come on.
Yeah.
And then you got Singapore.
But again, the bullet train is only going between four big cities. And here.
But it stops at, they stop at the big cities because their other train system.
It takes you off.
Goes everywhere.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. If we had in America a huge train international system that the federal government said, okay, we're going to build this from all these cities around the East Coast. And then we'll let the cities monorail. And then we'll let the cities do what they do, because that's what happens now. The federal government builds the interstate, and then they say, "Okay, states, you can build your little interstate highways off of these." And that's what happened.
Sure.
So if we did that, it would happen.
Oh yeah, I agree.
But we're not going to do it because of the automotives.
Well,
more people got cars.
It's also the cost.
Right. Exactly. That's what I mean.
That's the big.
Yeah. So, there are some comics that came out.
Okay.
This week.
So if Larry is trying to get us to talk about comics,
yeah.
we've talked about something for too long.
I mean, mean, realistically, I think we've said the same thing.
The run
many
on
times. To yeah, the transportation infrastructure.
The run it, on.
Dan, what a compelling topic. This really is an NPR podcast.
I was about to say, Barry threw us off at the beginning.
I ran with it.
The run on the DC Rebirth books, it's very surprising and very disappointing.
I've actually been pleasantly surprised by.
You're only disappointed because you didn't update your box.
Exactly.
I've been pleasantly surprised by all the DC books so far, with the exception of maybe the Batman book.
Do you have Green Arrow from last week here?
Green Arrow is really good.
I know.
Green Arrow has been my highlight so far. I haven't read this week's books yet, but so far Green Arrow is my highlight. It was a real reset.
Are all these books available digitally?
Probably. I would imagine so.
This week's ones, we didn't get quite as many in as we are for the others. Which cover do you
Oh, I don't want it. Because it was just a bestseller. Dude, that was a huge seller. And it's hard for me to believe that this was their bestseller.
That was their best. That was their best quality book.
Really?
Yes. That is. The art is great.
Yeah.
And the writing is really good.
Huh.
Yeah. So, it's a back-to-basics story. Yeah. They really bring Green Arrow back to being the pre-New 52 Green Arrow.
With the goatee.
With the goatee, instead of, you know, just trying to copy the TV show, which is they've been trying to do the whole New 52.
Which is terrible because the TV show is just a copy of Batman.
Well, now, here's the thing is
with
the
arrows.
The TV show works,
yeah.
But it works because it's a TV show.
Sure.
And, you know... Some things in comics don't translate well on TV, and some things on TV do not translate well into comics. And Arrow does not translate well into comics, especially when you're taking away from a character who's already existed for
decades. Yeah, forever.
But I mean, I sold almost as many Green Arrows as I did Batman.
Wow,
I sold 65 issues. Of a book that I normally sold 20 out of before
this. Wow. See, I hope they I hope the numbers last, Larry.
I liked Batman. I thought the art was good.
I thought the art was good.
I thought the art was good. I thought it was. I liked how experimental it was with its.
The art?
No, with the way it was trying to tell its story.
I didn't like it.
But the overall story that it was trying to tell, I didn't like. And it felt like. It was Scott's...
It felt like Snyder and King were dancing, but they didn't know who was leading.
What was the story?
Go ahead. Tell them about Batman doing pull-ups.
Exactly.
Batman doing pull-ups. And kicking trees.
It
was lame.
It was a lame story.
It was lame.
Calendar Man was the villain.
Calendar Man was awesome. Okay.
Calendar Man was awesome, but the story was bad.
Yeah.
And it really felt like Snyder setting up his all-star Batman... Instead of King setting up his Batman. Right?
And really, Calendar Man was good because of the art. Yeah. They really didn't even talk about Calendar Man that much.
So there wasn't much talking at all in that issue.
Yeah,
since
it's a rebirth.
It wasn't a rebirth, that was the
It did not feel like a rebirth.
It wasn't a rebirth.
No, it felt more like an epilogue, kind of.
Green Arrow felt like a rebirth. Superman didn't feel like a rebirth either.
It felt like an epilogue.
It felt like an epilogue, but it was a better epilogue.
It was. It was actually enjoyable, and it got you excited about the Superman book.
Yeah.
Which was its job.
Right. Because I've heard, we heard
about...
It's
kind of like a zero issue. All these rebirth number ones are kind of like zero issues. Yeah.
So you still have hopes.
They're
have hopes.
They're not doing zero issues. I gotta read more. They're doing rebirth number one, and then the regular number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
Okay.
Is a one shot.
While I'm not excited about the general overall idea of where they're heading with the DC universe, I do think that all the rebirth titles that I have read so far.
It's just you think they're heading to another crisis.
That's because they are heading to another crisis. But overall, the quality of the books have not been bad so far.
So a monumental thing happens next week.
Monumental.
Next week will be the first time since I'm...
Worthy of a monument. Isn't that what that means?
First time since I've been working here in this establishment that we have ever spent more on DC in a week than we spent Marvel.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that is
That's
monumental
for...
That's
years.
Here.
Huh?
That is a big
been
news.
Here a couple of three.
Well,
years.
The question is KMTC sustain that amount of sales?
No.
And the answer is
well,
no.
No. Yeah. Not when Marvel Now does their thing. Are you open for the midnight thing for Marvel Now? You haven't
July
heard about
13th.
This. July 13th, Marvel will allow you to sell Civil War 2 number 3 at midnight, and they're also going to have a special preview catalog.
Which is what I want, the catalog. You're the man.
But yeah, it's that's what I read in the email. 12:01 a.m.
Wednesday, you're allowed to sell every new comic.
No, well, yeah.
Well, then I don't know.
Basically,
what the
hell
yeah.
It is. That's what
probably
it is.
Just an initiative that they're.
But yeah, it was a new.
They do midnight release parties all the time.
That's kind of what
and
this
essentially
is.
What yeah. it is. They'll,
I didn't think
they'll
was.
Do a special variant.
You're allowed to sell them at midnight.
If we wanted,
they was thinking about it for a while opening up
doing
at midnight.
The comic book crackhead hour being opening up at, on Tuesday at midnight. So it'd technically be
Wednesday.
Wednesday morning, 12:01 a.m.
That would have helped me this week.
Yeah. You were up.
And we would have people that would come in.
I would come. I would come.
I'd do it just for the hell of it.
I would come, and then I would come back here during the day just to record this.
Oh, hell yeah. I'd do it in a heartbeat just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
It gives me something to do at night.
So, I mean...
But I hope it's something more than just being allowed a preview and a
well,
early
it's a previews
thing.
Of their new, you know,
Marvel Now
initiative. Yeah,
right.
And,
but
and
I mean,
it's I'm excited
so what
about
is
it.
All
it?
New, all different.
See,
Marvel
no,
Now,
it's just
whatever.
All new Marvel Now.
I'm not very
Marvel
excited
now.
About it because I mean, all these initiatives. Kind of old
Marvel
news at this point.
Now before,
yeah,
they already used
Marvel Now,
yeah,
but now it's all cracked.
Coming out of Secret Wars.
Yeah.
The books have, there have been some shining lights in there. But why are they shining? Because of the writers they have on them.
Well, of course, that's always.
You take Jason Aaron off of Thor, and Thor goes in the toilet.
My problem with these
not
Marvel
depends on who else goes on
something else. Is they've it done this so many times.
Who's going to be better than
Aaron? Oh,
they're
going to wear themselves.
Running out.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it's not.
It's
of
really
course,
hard
they've
to
done
keep.
It all these times. They're a comic it's book publishing company that's changing their line and
every
adding
every year.
So I'm okay with that. Why
they're
is
they're rebooting it every year? It's just hard to keep track of.
It is hard to keep track of, but I enjoy new life breathing the books. I enjoy when they give writers and artists a chance and give
right.
characters
Look,
a chance.
Well, I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying that it's hard to get excited for a new initiative when you have new initiatives so often.
But does that, I mean, it's not a new thing. It's a routine now.
Right. I would like
a
my
routine
books.
Of change.
It just means that I'm going to have my fourth volume or maybe fifth volume of a Jason Aaron Thor run.
That's right.
Which is ridiculous, by the way.
It's different. It's the modern age, though. That's how.
But
we
I'm
do.
Just saying.
How many volumes?
If I
want to
read, if I
want to
read the entire,
three? I have three in the past 5 years.
No, I'm just saying. If I want to read the entire Jason Aaron story of Thor, I have to read five volumes of books.
I agree.
And that
there
is ridiculous.
There were at least. Three book Marvel
see...
books that last year that had two volumes in last year alone.
I understand that. I just
that
think
Squirrel Girl,
have a new
which
you're right.
Squirrel Girl,
I think it's
Howard
just
the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
I think it's
Deadpool.
I think it's an old school way of thinking.
Well,
comics have changed in the modern age to where we don't get.
Look, I don't
longer than 25 issue runs.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that
you're
these,
not getting 25 issue runs.
Yeah, these aren't lasting 25.
You're getting 12, issues. Which is well,
not even getting 12
well,
in most
some
of them.
Right.
Like if this actually was 25 issue runs, I wouldn't have as much of a problem about it. But it's coming out every year. If it was like every 2 years,
that'd
be something.
Call them miniseries and be done with it.
Or a storyline. Just call it, you know, a storyline run is going to be.
Well, they're not calling it shit.
Well,
we're the ones up. We're
no,
are the ones
calling,
that
they're
label.
They're calling it Marvel
they're calling
Now.
They're calling it the same stuff they called it 5 years ago.
Right.
Well, we're the ones applying the labels.
No,
there's
are.
No difference between having volume one and volume two of the same arc. If there
My
are two different writers and creator, or
all
artists.
New, all different, all new, all different, all new Marvel Now. Marvel Now.
Well, they're just that's right. different.
Marvel
branding.
Point Now.
And while you're saying it does help bring in new readers. It
I
also
don't know if it does.
Well,
it may.
The new number ones, you know, it gives people jump on points.
Sure.
But it also makes it harder to suggest to those readers what
Is it
they
gonna be
what
good
they need
or not.
To read
yeah.
in the past. Because yeah. like if somebody jumps onto the Thor book now and they're like, "What do I need to read?"
God Bomb God Butcher. That's it.
Well, then you're like, okay, well, you need to read Thor, God of Thunder. You need to read Thor. You need to read the Mighty Thor.
But these are two trades you can point them
and
to.
Here's, that they would be fine reading. Here's really where the reader gets confused. I'm going to pick up Volume 1 of Thor.
Okay.
Oh, and I grabbed the Volume 2 of Thor. Wait, this isn't even the same character. This is, you know...
Well, that's always been a problem with.
So
Batman.
This is
that's different. That's been a problem everywhere. Batman was Dick Grayson for a year. You know what happened there? Yeah. Why aren't you talking shit on that run?
We're not talking.
No, it's not about the run.
You guys sound like you're talking shit.
No, not on the run.
All of
about
that
the,
was a 5 year
the,
run.
It changes over.
Batman and Robin with Dick Batman was like 12 issues, man.
All right,
but the book kept going. It was 16 issues, and the book kept going after that.
The book went to about
26,
yeah, it's just
27.
Making it deliberately confusing to follow a storyline.
And the only reason why
it's confusing, I think it's confusing if you have... for example, an X-Men book, go into the 12th issue, and you have a new writer and a new artist on it, and they totally go in a different direction. Why not just have a new volume?
Well, yeah.
Why not?
And that's fine. That's different, though. That's different from being the Jason Aaron Thor run that's been going on for 5 years now that... is
the status quo has definitely changed dramatically between those two.
Exactly.
They
exactly.
even have
so,
a different lead character.
So it would have been fine if it was just Thor, God of Thunder, and then when Thor turned into a girl, have the Mighty Thor. But then they had that other one in between there.
Right.
And it just gets all confusing.
I can see that, but it's still all the Jason Aaron run of
Thor. Just like, it was fine to have the Amazing Spider-Man and then to have the Superior Spider-Man, because it made sense to split that off between there.
Right.
Yeah.
But then again, the Superior Spider-Man lasted, 30-something issues?
Yeah,
3 years.
No, it was twice a month.
Yeah,
twice a month. It lasted just shy of 2 years.
Yeah, so that was fine.
Yeah.
But to have these books only last 12 months, 12 issues,
I think your guys' problem is a book runs for 12 issues and they renumber it with the same artist and creator, and the status quo hasn't changed.
And they changed the title.
No, exactly.
Issue.
So here's the problem. I have a customer comes in, they're like, I'm looking for issue number 3.
Okay. Of what?
Thor.
This character. Boom.
Yeah.
Okay, what volume? I don't know.
Well, that's...
All right, so
that's your opportunity to educate him on the more expensive wares of your store.
So then they go in, and you know what happens? They get confused and they leave unhappy.
Yeah. Or they buy the wrong issue.
Hey, I read X-Men, man. I know. I understand.
Especially
with
the back
issue. The complexities
and do you
here.
Want
I
that
just don't think
level
that
of confusion in the entire Marvel universe?
I
essentially,
just
when
don't
they
think it's as terrible as you guys are making it out to seem.
I think
just
the
because
biggest
they've renamed
issue. I think the
it's
biggest
turning
issues.
People off is what it's doing.
It's turning people off of Thor?
No.
What else is
what
there?
What
give me another example of a book that has gone through that same sort of... Because I agree that because of the dynamic of Thor, you could even say the same thing for the Captain America book. It sort of took a turn, but its status quo completely changed. Did you want them to keep the same and keep going with that?
When people are trying to read their old stories, they get turned off with the Marvel point nows and the all new, and they get confused. It makes it hard for people reading the older stories. That's my issue.
Well, I can agree with that. I think it definitely builds
it
buzz and excitement
only
for...
on the new stuff. If it didn't come out this week, it's not important to Marvel.
Damn right.
That is the vibe
they're
giving.
They're supposed to live in the past. They can't do that. They have to be in the now. They have to be...
Forget your past.
That's why it says now. They have to be. If they're down a week, they're behind.
Well, I'm just saying my problem is that these initiatives are coming out just too fast. It just feels like we just got done with the Secret Wars
and then
initiative.
I did not like that.
Well, I'm just saying. It feels like we just got done with that.
But
we've just settled down.
I think that
and
them doing something so soon after that shows that people don't like it.
Because
I don't like it. I don't like where Wolverine is. I definitely don't like where Captain America is.
I like where Wolverine is.
Exactly.
I like where Wolverine is.
I understand.
You mean Old Man Logan or Wolverine?
Both.
I don't like where either of them are.
There's an all-new Wolverine who's X-23.
Well, okay, that one.
I don't like where...
That's the best X-Men,
by the way. Here's the thing.
You've said,
my problem,
and I feel terrible for just hating it out of...
you know,
with all the
hand.
Initiatives.
And I do. I just hate it out of hand.
Is always when they do a change.
Yeah.
Most of the time, they change the title of the book. You go from Thor to Mighty Thor. Now,
they've done that for decades.
Right, right. Okay. When you do it on a 12-issue arc,
yeah,
that's where it gets confusing, is what part of the problem is. Now, what they did with Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, yeah, it was only a 9-issue arc, then they got another number one.
Okay.
But they kept the title. You can add Marvel now or all new.
I see.
A lot of people would go, I want Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
You can point them to two volumes. And
you
it's
go,
the same
okay.
Thing.
I want Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number
seven.
One. Well, I got two.
Right. Yeah. I got 1 through 7. I'm missing number 8. Okay. There was 2 number 8s. A lot of times you can look on at one of the back pages. It'll tell you kind of like the cover of number 8.
Yeah. But it's not chess we're playing here, guys. It's not hard to figure out. You know,
not to you, the guy who's been reading comics for.
They aren't selling to people that aren't like me.
But they're trying to get new people.
That's your job.
New people that are trying to get it and are being turned off.
That's your job.
I am losing customers because they keep using the same name.
That's your job. You to teach your customers to up
not
to where
everybody
I am.
Not everybody feels
Marvel
comfortable.
Don't give a damn about him
no, but people,
as a retailer.
But the thing about it is,
no,
is
it
people
is
are uncomfortable sometimes of
it is
asking because they don't want to feel like an idiot.
Right. I'm not.
Oh, well, that's on them then. I mean, I'm not making excuses.
It is Marvel's
I'm
job
talking.
To make a product that is easy and accessible.
It's Marvel's job to make a profit. If they don't see that holding your hand while you train your employee or your customers, if they don't see that as profitable, or if they see that putting their attention onto next week's book.
This is what it boils down to. Yeah. Marvel doesn't give a shit about comics.
I don't think they...
No, they don't.
They don't care about
really
selling
don't.
Comics. I believe that the creators who are on the books do care about it.
Yes. Yeah,
but
the writers
I don't,
care.
I don't think
no,
they care
Marvel
about selling
Marvel is a corporation,
no.
It's,
no.
They don't...
No.
I agree.
Because comics are not their
bread and butter.
They're just there to keep the copyrights for the movies.
Boom.
It's basically all.
And as
for.
A test bed for ideas.
Yeah.
And for pretty cheap ideas, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, relatively speaking, to sure. somebody who's writing a screenplay, to someone who's just translating a comic book story.
Sure.
But, no, they don't give a damn about you, Larry.
You were saying me.
As a retailer.
I'm saying the reader.
No, I think they care. I think the people really. Writing and drawing the books give a damn.
But they're not
that's
the ones.
I care
but they're
about.
Not the ones doing these initiatives.
No, yeah. no. But they're the ones who are given the new ideas and who go to these events and say, "This is my idea," and then Marvel's like, "Go ahead and do it."
But I don't know why we're talking
but
about
that. But the company
because
can't
that's all
itself.
I'm really looking at. I mean, you guys are looking at this like, "Oh, Marvel's giving us another dude." Marvel is a shitty corporation. Who you're right doesn't give a damn. They don't. They don't. I thought that's where we were at the beginning. You were arguing the opposite direction. I was defending Marvel as a terrible company. You were trying to communicate that they were a terrible company.
No, it's just they
you know what I mean? Because, yeah, I agree with you. They are terrible, and they don't care about selling comics. Their last movie made $1 billion in 3 weeks. You think they give a damn about some pictures on paper? No, but the people writing and drawing the books, they definitely give a damn. And if what editorial right now has with the last initiative is not working for those creators, and I don't think it is. In some cases it is, but in more cases it's not.
Let me ask you this.
A lot of the X-Men books, shit. There's 2 good Avengers books out of 6.
But
they need to get rid of Avengers books. They're not
how many Spidey books are there? 8? How many are good? 2?
But let me ask you
Gwen and the new Miles book? I'm just saying.
Dan Slott book's not bad.
The Dan Slott book's not bad, but it doesn't feel like Spider-Man. It doesn't.
That's the point.
I know. But I think that's where the new initiative needs to go. That's why I'm not reading Spider-Man. Because he's Tony Stark.
I thought you don't read Spider-Man because you just don't read Spider-Man.
No, I used to pick up Spider-Man like I pick up Batman. Every issue, I didn't care who was on it. I probably have 600 issues of Spider-Man. But I don't get it because I don't like where he is. I don't like where he's been for a while.
Well, you're not going to like it until Dan Slott's off the book.
Or until they change this initiative and Dan Slott's allowed to go back.
But Dan Slott doesn't want to go back. Dan Slott's
the one
who
needs
to
be off the book. And I'm not talking smack because what he's doing, a lot of people are enjoying it.
It's just not my
Spidey. And they're trying to give us that other Spidey book. It's just not the same.
Hashtag not my Spidey.
Not my Spidey.
Miles Morales Spider-Man?
No, it's a book just called Spidey. That's out of continuity.
Oh, well, yeah, it's an out of continuity.
It's a different
high school
character every issue that Spidey's either going up against or teaming up with.
Oh,
and it's not bad. It's just I'd rather read it.
Well, it's hard to care about out of continuity.
Well, let me ask you this, Gomer on Spider-Man. Don't you think it's about time that Peter Parker used his genius for doing what he's doing? When you think about it, as a character.
No.
No?
Who cares?
Well, he's going to get shit on in the end anyway.
Exactly. But I mean, he is a very smart man and all that.
He's not Reed Richards. Why turn him into Tony Stark or Reed Richards? He was fine as Peter Parker.
He's not Reed Richards. He's Tony Stark.
But he's trying to say, why doesn't he use his smarts to help out?
Well, no, I mean, he could be a Reed Richards. Isn't it time for them to write that story?
You know how?
Reed Richards is making universes right now. He can't.
Peter Parker didn't even get his freaking degree. That's why he's cool. No. No, he didn't.
Did he ever do it?
Norman Osborn got it for him.
No.
Or Doc Ock got it for
Octopus
him.
Right.
And
I'm just saying, as a storyline, don't you think it's time?
No.
No.
I didn't say it's okay to move these stories ahead and for characters to have growth. But once
it's
you have
okay
enough,
for Captain America to be a Hydra.
No, I didn't say that either.
Oh,
okay. I hate that.
Too much growth is bad,
and that's two examples of way too much growth
for
a character.
Well, definitely Captain America, but I mean, for Spider-Man, I always thought he should be using his smarts to make some. Maybe not be a. No, of course,
he always
not
uses
a
smarts.
Start,
he always uses smarts in context.
Sure,
that's fine enough. For him. He's smart enough to know how to conduct electricity, but he's too busy. But he's too busy to own his own stupid corporation. That's just lame. It's lame, dude.
No, I'm not saying the story, how they're writing it is lame.
He's more like Bruce Wayne now than Peter Parker.
Oh, okay, which one is it? Tony Stark or Bruce Wayne?
He's all of those. Tony Stark and Bruce Wayne are technically the same guy.
Well, no, yeah, but Tony Stark's a drunk.
Yeah,
egotistical ass.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Batman's also an egotistical ass.
Well, that's
because
he plays.
But he communicates it in a different way.
Well, yeah, but he plays that.
Yeah.
Remember, he is Batman.
No, he's even still as Batman, he's an egotistical asshole. He still believes he is the solution for everything.
Well, yeah.
On the Marvel now, I think it's time for a change.
We just had the change.
Professor Xavier is gone. Captain America. I know. Wolverine is gone. Captain America.
The originals.
Well, I'm just saying, these characters as a whole are not in the Marvel Universe.
I'm glad
the
Wolverine.
We need a reset.
How do you figure that?
Wolverine was
too
all over
the universe.
That is not my Captain America.
Okay, you're talking about.
That ain't my
No,
me?
I just want to make sure.
I don't know who that is.
I have no clue.
All right,
we know it's going to be reset. They have to reset. It's not going to last.
I reset the whole universe at this point. They've foobarred it enough where it's done.
So it is foobarred?
It's
now
done.
Remember, I'm still a year and a half, 2 years behind.
The Inhumans have just totally screwed everything up. As far as the X-Men
just,
and everything else goes...
You just hate the Inhumans because for a while they were
You don't
trying
feel that this
take.
Event is a forced Inhuman event, the Civil War II?
I don't feel that it is a forced Inhuman event. I feel that it is a forced event.
And the Inhumans are just put in there. Oh, we need to get the Inhumans in there. Oh, make the lead antagonist Inhuman.
He's not an antagonist.
He's the crutch point, the hinge point of the entire thing.
He's the hinge point, but he's not the antagonist.
I bet he turns out to be.
I bet
he turns out to be a dumbass who's just been reading his power
completely
wrong.
Probably turns out to be a dumbass, but he's not the antagonist.
He'll turn out to be, because they're going to hunt him down. Yeah. Tony Stark's already wanting to hunt him down in this week's issue of some
Tony
shit.
Stark's an idiot.
I like Tony in this.
I hate his argument.
He doesn't tell his argument well, but his argument is
like,
great.
His argument is valid, but...
He doesn't
explain
it well.
But yeah, his argument, the way he argues it, is...
I liked Jules' explanation for that.
Well,
that they were at a party with his friends, and he was just speaking off the cuff.
Well, it was like the issue did a really good job of showing you Carol's argument because they stopped
the first thing.
It's a lot easier to show you.
So
it does a really good job of showing you her argument, and then it goes to Tony Stark, and Tony Stark is like, but morals and stuff.
But then his argument is completely rectified
in the next two pages. Not really, though.
Brody getting a fist through the gut when he's supposed to be chilling with the president? Here's the thing, though,
is I bet if you ask Brody, hey... Would you have rather have been chilling with the president or going to fight Thanos and got fists in the gut?
But that's irrelevant.
He would have gone and fought Thanos anyway.
But that's irrelevant.
I'm just saying.
I completely agree with you, but it's irrelevant. Because they he made that choice based on false information.
It wasn't false information.
It turned out to be false information.
No, Thanos showed up, as they said.
But in that, Thanos showed up, stole the weapons, and then left, and nobody died. That was one future. Yes. What happened was a different future.
But,
so,
but it wasn't false. All
it
was
a
was,
false future.
It was a false future, but Thanos showing up wasn't false.
No.
Because the future hasn't happened.
The whole,
no
the
one
whole,
would have died.
The whole point of knowing the future is to make that future a false future.
Exactly.
But that's why you can't.
And that's
know
what
the
happened. Yeah,
if you
exactly
can change
right.
it, it's not
you can allow
anymore.
It to happen.
And that's the point.
Well, I said if you change
they could have allowed it to happen.
Right.
There were a lot of different happen, ways they could have
but they
gone.
Didn't want to allow it to happen, but which then, is the point.
I understand,
that's why it's wrong. You can't change the...
But I understand
Tony's,
that.
But Tony did,
like
he did not
theoretically,
explain it well.
Theoretically, I am on Tony Stark's side on this.
Yes. But he did not explain it well. And not theoretically, literally... You're on his side. You should not use the future to your advantage.
I am on his side, but
it's not the future.
But I don't see Tony Stark. First off, yeah. I don't see Tony Stark enlisting enough people to have a civil war. Because
now that Rhodey's in,
well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Who in their right minds in the Marvel universe would follow Tony Stark anywhere
at
this
point?
Point?
Yeah, no shit.
Realistically, very few.
Yes, and the way he argues his stuff in this particular issue,
yeah,
there's no way he could convince anyone.
We'll have to see what happens. Bendis can always twist that a little bit.
Rhodey's dead, which I already knew.
Yeah.
Now She-Hulk's dead.
More than likely.
Supposedly.
Most likely she has passed away. Yeah.
So it will be a big reset coming up.
And the thing about it, She-Hulk on her deathbed said to Carol, don't give up on this.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Have
so we are looking at another reset of Marvel.
I'm so happy.
Because I'm sorry, they won't.
I want the Inhumans gone.
They're not keep Rhodey dead.
I like the Inhumans.
She-Hulk dead and Captain America.
The Inhumans. The Inhumans books overall have been better than the X-Men books.
I'm not reading all the X-Men books, but the ones I am reading, I would not trade for an Inhumans.
Extraordinary X-Men feels forced.
Oh, I don't think so.
The Apocalypse doesn't feel forced?
Oh, that feels forced. The whole event feels forced, sure.
Extraordinary
I just got
X-Men
done saying the Inhumans
forced.
Feels forced
I mean,
in the
they
event.
Done Age
in the,
of
in
Apocalypse
this event.
Anyways in X-Men.
And they did that as a thing for the movie. I get
like
it.
Like three times this has happened.
Extraordinary X-Men feels forced.
I'm okay with that. Recurring villains.
Uncanny X-Men wasn't is,
yeah,
has not been good.
I like the story, but Buns, he's having trouble taking it. And again, I think this event puts the brakes on every damn thing that everyone's got going on in a bad way.
And
okay, so
all new X-Men just hasn't been
so when
hasn't
Marvel
been good,
when Marvel now comes out, how many issues roughly will Captain America be in?
We don't know. We have no idea.
I don't think Captain America will.
We
be
won't know until the 13th, dude. When we get that preview book.
Well, I mean, doesn't Marvel now though start like August or September?
I don't know. No, July, August.
No, no, the actual
August,
start,
September,
start.
October it'll start.
Okay,
end of
October, so that would be 5-6 issues in for Captain America, roughly.
It'll be done.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That book will be over.
Well, that's what I'm
and
saying.
Gone.
It'll. That's when the reset will happen. That's what I'm trying to say. The reset will happen.
It freaking better.
In about 6 issues.
I'm not reading that book. I will never read Captain America again if this is the way it's happening.
You know they're not going to keep him.
But, yeah, I did not care for that at all.
There's been a big brouhaha all over the internet and other places.
Well, people are still
going to
pick up issue 2. Well, you know, it's going to sell.
Sure. I'm going to read it because I like Captain America. I want to see where they go with it.
I've always said. But we'll see. I'm hoping that Marvel does, you know, reset at this point because everything is unrecognizable at this point, and that's okay, but you need to go back to go every once in a while.
Now, you did say, or y'all have said, maybe.
Let's just pretend that after Secret Wars, this universe was all just fake.
Well, hang on a minute. Didn't
Reed Richards built his own.
Exactly. Reed Richards.
We'll go back to the original. Don't roll your eyes, shake your head at me. Well, that's a great idea to bring Reed back into
that.
That
is
Reed,
a stupid idea.
If Reed Richards is building it or has built it or whatever,
yeah,
he may have to go back and we'll say,
and tweak,
tweak
it.
A few things.
He's like, oops, I made Captain America Hydra. Right.
That
my
is
bad.
A worse failure than the New 52. At least
it
the New 52 lasted 5 years before they decided.
So,
I don't think it'd be a failure. Nothing off of Secret Wars is a failure. Nothing was going to compete.
You have just gone on a tangent about how everything after Secret Wars has been a failure.
But nothing could have been anything else. That's what I'm saying. Coming off of Secret
been
Wars.
Whatever I wanted it to be.
No, well, you're saying there are
if
good
they
books.
Reboot the Marvel Universe, it's going to be just like the movies.
Oh, yeah, I don't want that either.
Oh, please no.
Yeah, I don't want that either.
I want
but you're saying that there are good books.
There are good books
over at Marvel. I'm saying that too. But I'm saying that the books that I'm used to reading, Iron Man, Captain America, even Avengers,
I've been enjoying,
is not good.
For the most part, I am enjoying Iron Man.
I tried that first issue. You know I tried. Amazing Spider-Man is unrecognizable.
And I'm okay with that.
See, I'm not.
I am actually finding more enjoyment out of the current Amazing Spider-Man,
yeah,
where he is kind of doing the Tony Stark thing, more than I've enjoyed the last...
Tony Stark, where he's doing the Spider-Man
well,
thing.
Well, no. I've enjoyed it more than the last 2-3 years of Dan Slott's Spider-Man run, where Spider-Man was doing the Spider-Man thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's about time for final
thoughts. Yeah, we didn't solve anything, did we?
We never do.
We never do.
Yeah. We solved the transportation crisis.
We did. We
no,
solved
we didn't solve it.
Join us next time. Well, we'll be interviewing another imaginary reporter covering a third world crisis.
I was supposed to mention something
where
on the podcast.
Are covering
it was
the,
about DC and how.
There were
how
so
Stark
many
Industries
Rebirth
has
picks.
Been
Rebirth is popular.
For Adamantium Overflow toxic is poison. Toxins have poisoned the local water systems.
Don't say that.
In the
there's almost none. I gotta go.
In the Ugandan lands, and what can be done to save it?
Are we doing final thoughts?
Yes, and my NPR joke.
My final thought this week is, I don't know. We have a bunch of other podcasts on Network Geekery. Listen to those, too. Like 8.
Mine will be, in case anybody didn't know, they did a... new high-definition version of the Highlander.
Oh, that's true. I posted that on Facebook.
20th or something, anniversary. I'm looking forward to
here
getting this
we are.
DVD or seeing it download or whatever.
Born
Queen. Hey, that was a great soundtrack.
Dude, it is the best
great
soundtrack, dude.
So, well, that and Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
Flash!
See, everybody sings that, dude.
Adam.
Ted.
Ted. You don't have one either.
Rebirth's been surprisingly good.
I'm not surprised. The beginning of
I am surprised.
Beginning of New 52 was good.
It was okay.
There were hits and misses.
There were hits and misses.
There were hits and misses on Rebirth. As long as you
take more hits and misses so far.
So far. Long way to go.
Give DC a chance.
Long way to go.
I still had that. That's illusion based, so.
I'm good.
Arms up.
Done.
I'm good. Join us next week. You want me to do it?
Same bad time, same bad channel. Good night, Elaine.
No son of Maddie?
Son of Maddie.
Did we say Maddie?
Check us out at OutrightGeekery.com, ComicCity2.com. Find us on Facebook. Or come see us in person in Madison, Tennessee really cool. At Comic City 2.
Don't do that. We're all really
the Predator awesome. Book.
I didn't even know
it was a 4-part, right? And then it
all
goes
right, we'll
into the
next
next
week.
Series, Prometheus. It's a 4-parter.
See, Justin?
Another 4-parter will be...
We didn't bash on DC at all this week.
DC sucks. Actually, we bashed on Batman a little bit.
I bashed
Well, that's on Batman, not